Good morning. Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm Miles O'Brien in for Celeste Headlee this morning. 85 days and perhaps 185 million gallons later.
That's astounding.
That's a big number.
That is a big number.
The ruptured BP oil well deep below the Gulf is no longer spewing out that sickening cloud of crude.
It felt very good not to see any oil going in the Gulf of Mexico. What I'm trying to do is maintain my emotions, remembering this is the start of our test.
That was BP Senior Vice President Kent Wells offering some measured optimism now that the cap is in place, able to handle the pressure at least so far. The oil stopped flowing at 3:25 p.m. Eastern time yesterday, but as Wells said, this is just the start of a test. And of course, if even not another drop of oil spills out of that well, the die is cast for a fragile ecosystem for decades to come. As one fisherman told the New York Times, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a dead man. For more on the oil cap's success and the future of the Gulf, we're joined by Henry Fountain, science reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Also with us is Robert Hernan. He is author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. Henry, let's begin with you. The cap is interim. It is a test. Explain what they're testing and what's next.
Well, they're testing to see whether the well can hold pressure. Effectively, they've sort of put a cap on it, like putting a cap on a soda bottle, and pressure will build up inside. And if the well is undamaged, then that suggests that it would be easier to keep under control. What's next is basically we're waiting to see what the results are, and sort of the longer this goes, the better. It suggests that the well is holding pressure.
All right, we can already say it's better than a junk shot or a top kill, all these terms we're now familiar with. Assuming that the pressure holds, what do they do next?
Well, there's been some confusion about that, but it seems like what they would do is reopen the well and keep collecting the oil on the surface. They may keep it shut in the event of a hurricane if all the collection ships have to leave. But I think they're going to reopen it. I don't think they want to leave it closed long term.
So they'll reopen it, they'll capture the oil, and that'll be the status quo for quite some time?
Well, until the relief wells are done, which, at this point they're saying end of July up to mid-August. But, of course, weather could interrupt things.
Right. And how is that work going on the relief wells?
The first relief well is doing quite well. It's actually very near its target, but it slows way down at this point, so it'll still be a while.
Robert, let's talk with you for just a moment. This spill is unique. Why?
Well, it's unlike Exxon Valdez, where all the most of the damage was on the surface along the shoreline because of a spring storm that blew about 10 million gallons along the shore. Here, it's about, anybody's estimate is at least probably 150 million gallons somewhere, everywhere out there in the Gulf, and a lot of it's below the surface. And we just don't have a lot of experience in assessing or understanding what happens to all these hydrocarbons when they're under the surface. We certainly saw some of the research from people who have actually been on this show showing that there are these underground plumes of oil, there's these oxygen-depleted dead zones, and this is all during the spawning season. So we don't have a lot of data or information about the true impact of this particular spill.
So do we know then if it's a deep water spill like this, is it better, worse than Valdez, or just different?
I think all we can say at this point, it's different. It may be worse because certainly the use of these dispersants, about 800,000 gallons, have spread this oil throughout the water column and on the bottom of the Gulf. And that's all those pollutants are going to be taken up by various organisms and eaten by other fish. So it's a long-term prospect before we kind of know the full extent of it.
Well, let's talk about those dispersants. What is the environmental impact of them, those chemicals?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The dispersants themselves, those are chemicals that the EPA is looking into as well. What's the issue with them?
Well, the particular dispersant used here is a particularly toxic one, and EPA questioned BP on that. BP said it was the best they could find. It's a trade-off. I mean, there are toxic consequences from the use of these dispersants. The benefit, of course, is that it stops it from going on shore, so it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And the exact extent of the toxic effect of the dispersants below the surface is really kind of an unknown factor for us.
So what can we expect environmentally next? Well, how long will it be before there's some sort of sense of equilibrium in the Gulf? Or, for that matter, how will we even know the extent of the damage?
Well, I think, unfortunately, what's going to happen, let's assume it stopped now. Unfortunately, now it's going to go into litigation. And a lot of the studies will be based on litigation positions of the various parties. The people will have its experts, the U.S. will have its experts, states will, the private parties will have it. So it'll be months, if not a year or so, before a lot of the studies are done to try and estimate the extent of the damage below the surface as well as on the surface. And some of those will be litigation-driven.
That's Robert Hernan, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Henry Fountain, science reporter for our partner in the New York Times. You know, I'm looking at a map, Henry, and you know the Gulf is a relatively contained body of water, and this oil is just kind of sitting in there for now, and it's moving in some of the places that Robert was suggesting. How does that change the picture environmentally, that the Gulf seems to be contained and that it's not out in the middle of the ocean somewhere?
Well, it's not as contained as you might think. There are currents that take water out of the Gulf, and the Gulf still is I hate to sound like Tony Hayward, but it still is a big place. There was a huge spill 30 years ago in Mexico into the Gulf, and the environmental effects of that have not been studied fully. But it seems like the impact was not as severe as one might necessarily think.
Henry, why has it taken them so long to get to this point? 85 days to get this cap on top there.
Well, engineering is not an easy thing to do, particularly engineering 5,000 feet underwater. So, it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of planning, takes a lot of building special tools. So it's not an easy thing.
Yeah. Although I was hearing that a lot of this stuff is off the shelf, that this technology could have been tried earlier, and some of the more exotic things that didn't work maybe could have been skipped.
I think the problem is combining it all together is not easy.
Right.
Are we optimistic this morning, gentlemen?
Boy, I don't know. It's hard to be real optimistic.
What do you think, Robert?
But delighted that at least there appears to be a stoppage of the continuing damage. That's a great sign.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Henry Fountain, our science reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Robert Hernan, who is author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. This may be, I guess, number 16.